Hebrews chapter 7, the first 7 verses. Another tribe. I think to get the gist of Hebrews chapter 7, really chapter 6, but if we look at the last two verses of chapter 6, it'll lead us into our text. He said, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham, returning from the slaughter of the kings, and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they came out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham, and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. Another tribe. The priesthood went from Levi to Judah. My priest is of the tribe of Judah. If you're in Christ, your priest is of the tribe of Judah, the lineage of David, not Levi. And how glorious this is, as the old priesthood could not bring about perfection. And yet this new priesthood actually brings about perfection. And the Bible says in Hebrews there, chapter 7, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. Holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. That's our priest. This hour, this day, that's our priest. I'd ask who your priest is, and are you of this tribe? Is this your tribe? You might, I think a lot of religious people, they would all assent, but they might find otherwise. Because there is no attendance at the altar. Now listen to that. There's no attendance at the altar for the tribe of Judah. In Ecclesiastes 5:1 basically says, when you go to the house of God, be more ready to hear than to give sacrifice of fools. That's why you go to the house of God. Faith cometh by hearing, you see. If you look there in Hebrews chapter 7, look at verse 14 through verse 17. For it is evident that your Lord sprang out of Judah, of which the tribe of Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest, who is made not after the law of carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. How glorious this is. Our priest. An everlasting priesthood never ends. And this is all prior to the law. Abraham, Melchizedek, prior to the law. Abraham didn't have the covenant. He didn't have the law. He had the promise. much as you and I. That's what you read there in Hebrews chapter 6, you see. And yet Abraham tithed of such to Melchizedek. He didn't have a law. Hey, you need to go give Melchizedek a tenth. That's why I preach tithing. And I've had people tell me, well, I'm not under the law. I don't tithe because I'm of the law. I tithe like Abraham. I've got this promise, and I give a tenth, you see. And that's why we tithe. Toward the everlasting priesthood, you see. Not the law. By law, you'd rob a priest. Now listen, but by grace, you rob God. And that's what I tell folks. We've preached it many times. The law makes men priests who have infirmity. You might say you're looking at one. But our priest is perfect, you see. His sacrifice was once and forever. One time. And consider this, what we're reading. If you consider the Levitical priesthood, for an illustration, I use Catholicism, what I call papal worship. Infirm priests by law, right all the way up to their infirm, sinful pope, who they consider a vicar of Christ and perfection, you see. You might say it's almost a bastardized form of Jewry, a bastardized form of the Levitical priesthood. That's all it is. It's a work salvation. And now listen, and this is why this becomes, because when you do that, that becomes blasphemous to our Lord's sacrifice. Because the Levitical priesthood is another tribe, not my tribe, you see. So as we consider this walk through this short life, a few days and full of trouble, how is it we live? We know that our lives are to be a living sacrifice. Not just the priests. Our lives, your life and my life, you see. Ecclesiastes 6:7 states that, I really like this, that all man's labor is but for his mouth. Did you ever think about that? But then he's hungry again. So you work and you eat, and then you fill up your belly and you go, oh man, I'm never going to eat again, or I'm not going to eat for 2 days. And what happens hours later, you see? What's the first thing a baby does? When he pops from the womb, he's got one interest, eat. And then he fills his belly and then eat. You see. And that's something we seek our whole lives on this earth, for our whole life. And yet the appetite is not filled. And thus, the preacher says it's vanity. It's all vanity. And when you consider it, it's vanity, all vanity, you see. And yet, he said the world is in men's hearts their whole lives. And they seek. And we seek. I told Melissa this morning in Ecclesiastes, I gave her a couple verses, and one was, which I'm guilty, don't say the good old days were better. Do you know that? Do you know it says that? Don't consider the days gone by and say, well, that's better than it is today. God says don't say that. Why? Because it's today. We learned that from the book of Hebrews, you see. What about, here am I, Lord, send me. And so we have to consider our tribe. Here am I, Lord, send me. To do what, you see? Some people, to do what? I saw this, some of you may not know, anyone who's listening to this, the sign guy who was on the corner by the courthouse at a red light. And he's shouting and holding a sign, Jesus saves or something, and preaching. And I couldn't hear a word he said. And I'm stopped right there. I took a picture. Well, what does that do? Couldn't hear a word he was saying. Everyone's in a car with windows up, windows rolled up, air conditioning going. Am I against that sort of preaching? No. But I think maybe it hollering at people at a busy intersection is a little ridiculous. Why would I do that? You think anybody got saved driving through that intersection? Which priesthood is that? You see? I might stand with a sign. I could see that. I read signs when I stop at red lights. I probably wouldn't, but I'm saying that's not something that I might not do. But preaching at cars going by? You think Christ would have been out on the corner? Couldn't hear him? Cars driving by? I don't think John the Baptist would have done that. I've preached at folks right in front of me for almost 40 years, and most of them don't hear me. I'm sure not going to stand out and preach at cars. And thus, our text, of necessity, a change of the law. Did you know it says that? Of necessity, a change of the law. And now hear it. Of which no man gave attendance, verse 13. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. A new priest from a different tribe than that of the Levitical priesthood. Jesus Christ our Lord. God as much says the farmer was weak and unprofitable. Weak and unprofitable. And he said, thus we had to have a change. I think yelling at cars at intersection is weak and unprofitable. John the Baptist, he paved the way. And then you know what he did? He got out of the way. I think sometimes in religion we have to get real. He was paving the way for what was to come. And when you really consider the so-called church today, it's as such. Back in Levi, instead of in Judah. The old priesthood. What were his last words upon that cross? We know him well. It's finished. No, wait a minute. It's almost finished, Baptist Church says. Oh, wait a minute. Almost finished, the Methodists say. And you know why they have to say that? Because if it's really finished, the Levitical priest up there in the pulpit's got a problem. You see? And every day they act as if it's not finished. Do this. Do that. I was reading a news article this morning about a man that was embedded undercover with the Hell's Angels motorcycle group. And they're these big freedom-loving guys, no rules. He said, man, they got more rules than I've got as not being a motorcycle gang member. And isn't that what happens? You get a group of people together, a group of believers together, they form up a little committee, they form up a little church, and before you know it, we don't have any rules, we're free people, and before you know it, the free people, look at America, we came over here for freedom, do we have any laws? Hello? You end up killing what you came for, you see? And then they have what they call a Great Commission, and let's dig up Aaron and the boys. Well, you got to go here, and you have to go here, and you have to do this, and you have to do this. I've watched that thing for years, and they wear the sheep out. The sheep working 40 to 60 hours a week, and in between that, Aaron and the boys up there in the Levitical priesthood are wearing them out. And I'm thinking, is that in the spirit, not in the flesh? Is that being, those are the sons of God led by the Spirit of God? Is that being placed in the body of Christ? And yet being at the Levitical altar? I'm to be salt and light. I'm to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. And we have all these people in Christ, in Judah, in the new priest, and they don't know what to do. But Aaron's happy to help them. You see. Look at verse 16 again. Who is made not after the law of carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. We're to live after the power of an endless life. I was telling Melissa this morning, I know you know the verse. Did you know it says the day of death is better than the day of birth? I mean, do you really see it? I see a guy yelling at cars at a busy intersection. And you know what I see? I didn't see a man of God. I saw carnal commandments. What's going on here? Are you afraid somebody won't make it to heaven if you don't yell at cars in it? Now, God tell him to do it. I don't know. He says, shouldn't I see an endless life? Melchizedek, I didn't see Melchizedek. I saw Aaron in the Levitical priesthood. So, you might say, well, what does God see when he sees you? Is it finished? Is it finished? Is it really finished? Are you done? Is your sacrifice to God or man? He didn't say we were here to please men, did he? I don't find that. I find he says we're here to please God. I put it sure gets quiet here. Oh, what a good boy I am, says the guy holding the Jesus Save sign. Now listen to me. Because this is personal. We actually know that guy. What if they knew what we know? Whoa! That man has the most, in 40 years, that man has the most contentious spirit of any man I've ever met, saved or lost. I've never met a man with a more contentious spirit. And he's got a sign out there preaching at an intersection, Jesus saves. And Melchizedek, he ain't. Which tribe? Levi or Judah? Carnal commandments or endless life? I hear those words in verse 18. Weakness and unprofitableness. Think about it. Think about it in the churches you've been to, in the sermons you've heard, in the religious activities you've been involved with. I consider a church I knew very well in California. Jeff went there. My daughter and her family, they went there. That's where I met Jeff. Amen. What Jeff may or may not know is I went there long before him. (Laughs) I went once, and my life was off track, and I was trying to get it back on track. And you know what the guy, I still remember what the guy preached. And I walked out of there. And I didn't walk out of there with my life back on track. I turned further from the track. Because the guy said I couldn't get right with Jesus unless I burned my Beatle albums. What on God's earth is burning my Beatle albums got to do with getting right with Jesus? I'm not for or against the Beatles. That's not. Which priesthood is that? You're going to hell, you had Beatle albums. I'm thinking that if you go to hell, that might not be the main reason. There's probably more to it. Hi, I'm Aaron, your Levitical priest. I'll be giving you a message today. And when I met Jeff, they had him, he was a member of this church, and others sacrificing at the altar all week long, on top of everything else. Yeah, we're going over here, we're doing this, and we're going over here, we're doing this, and we're on this committee, we're doing this. And we're doing this, and we're doing this, until one day God told him not to go out the same door he came in.
Amen.
And he never Amen. Went. And it was over. It was finished. Ain't going there again. When I didn't go out the same door, came in. And you see, thus religion becomes, as that adage right there, all man's labor for his mouth, and yet his appetite's not filled. And that's what happens in religion. And it's what happens in life. And it's what happens almost everything. You get this better job, and you move to this better place, and you do all these better things, and you get a better car, and you get a better house. Well, you know, maybe we should get a bigger house. Well, you started out with 2 bedrooms, 1 bath. Now we're 3 bedroom, 2 bath. And now you want 4 bedrooms, 3 baths. And you start out with a 1-car garage, and now you got a 2-car garage, and now you want a 3-car garage. Somebody ought to go, amen. You see? Law without Christ. Perhaps I thought this morning when I was reading, and I thought maybe I had reached a full age of preaching, and maybe I have. Because Paul said, man, you observe days and times, and you do this, and you do this. And he said, man, have I just preached in vain? Turn to Galatians chapter 4. Because it says it so well. Look at the first 11 verse. Now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors, governors, until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, like Melchizedek, made of a woman, made under the law. He came under the law, He did. He was under that Levitical priesthood to redeem. Why did He come? To get you out of it. To redeem them that were under the law. I'm buying you back. That we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you're sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And see, if you're in the law, if you under Aaron, Jeff found that out at Berean Baptist. I found it out at more than Berean Baptist. Became a servant. You say, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. How come, he says, when you knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after you've known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? You may think that sounds trite. I know people in this all day long. I go to prayer meetings with them. You observe days and months and times and years. I'm afraid of you, Paul said. lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Was not Jesus made a surety of a better testament? Wherefore he is able to save to the uttermost. And his law now, not in stone. Told you, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, the stone's rolled away. And that law is now in your heart and in your mind. You're a son of God. He was made a priest of perfection, a living, everlasting priest. So I ask him, what tribe you are? Because sometimes we fall back. Well, that person's not dressed like us, and that person doesn't look like this, and that person doesn't do that. But brother, the stone's rolled away. He's risen. You see, he's risen. I think I could say upon entering most what men today call church or churches, sadly, like the tomb, they could say, he who thou seekest is not here. What a sad testament. The law's there. Hey, but we got Aaron. You like Aaron? No, I know Aaron pretty well. He's a good guy. He's Moses' brother. But I've got a new priesthood. You see. And he's risen, amen. You see, he who I seek, he ain't here. Because he's here. You see. My God lives in me. Boy, that's not a sin, that's not a prideful thing. And I'm not sure standing on a street corner yelling at cars at an intersection is going to convince anybody of that. I think salt and light will. And I think being wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove will. And I think at least letting your light shine will. But I've seen guys yelling, standing on street corners, and I've stood on street corners preach and yelling at people they're going to hell. Boy, you make a lot of friends that way. And when John the Baptist called them snakes and told them they were going to hell, by the way, he wasn't yelling at the lost people. He was yelling at the priests. Another tribe, the Levitical tribe. He said, move over, Leviticus. Judah's coming in. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father.